Let's begin reading in John 15, okay? John 15, let's read verses 1 and 2, and I'll make a few comments, and then I'll read further. John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, how many of you students are familiar with these verses? How many of y'all kind of know them? Do you recognize them as I read them? A lot of you do. So you would know, wouldn't you, that the vine is Jesus Christ. How many of you would already know that, would you? So let's memorize it. The vine is Jesus Christ. Give me a little effort there, a little oomph, okay? The husbandman is God the Father. The husbandman now is an old English word. The husbandman is the one that works on the vineyard. He cares for the vineyard. He's in charge of it, the productivity of it, the production, the profitability of it. So the husbandman is God the Father. He's interested in you, is what the Bible's saying here. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you to be profited and to be profitable and to be productive. And then there are branches, the branches. Who are the branches? Now here's how we're going to do it. The branches are you and me, you and me. All right? You got to do it. All right? So let's get it ready. Y'all ready? You got to talk to me. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. So who is the vine? Jesus Christ. All right. Not too bad. Who's the husbandman? All right. A little bit more on here now. One more time. Who's the husbandman? And who are the branches? Nope. You didn't do it. You didn't. This is the branches are you and me. All right. You and me. It's a motion. All right. You got a hand? I mean, you got a hand. Wave your hand at me. You got a hand. All right. So here it is. Let's do it. Who are the branches? You and me. Now, some of you still didn't do it. I'm going to have to come back and sit by you. So you got to do it or we're going to be here a long time, okay? So one more time. Who are the branches?
You
and me. All right? So here's what Jesus says. I'm the vine, my Father's the husbandman, and you're the branches. And here's what he says. Review that again. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, verse 3, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Just for sake of time, one more verse. Look at verse 15. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And let's read verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now this is a familiar passage, and our first session here together, I want to talk to you about life or death. Jesus here is telling us that he's the life. And he's challenging us here to examine ourselves in relation to our relationship to him. Now, you know, don't you? You know Jesus cares about you. Did you know that? It's true. He knows all about you and he cares. What is your relationship to Jesus? If I had you stand and answer that, how would you answer it? What is your relationship to Jesus? Well, that's a question I get asked sometimes. Brother Harold, people sometimes, because they see my picture on your advertisement, Prayer Advance. Folks will say, what's your relationship to Brother Harold? Sometimes people will ask me about a pastor, like Brother Vaughn I've preached for, and they'll say, what's your relationship to Pastor Vaughn? I like teenagers, when teens are in love. You ever seen that happen? a teenager in love. How many know what I'm talking about? Teenager in love? Any of you in love? Anybody here in love? When you see a teenager in love, we got a guy back there. He's in love. God bless you, son. And I like teenagers that are in love, Brother Harold, and I'll often ask them, a teenage guy, for instance, son, what's your relationship to her? Those are good answers. One guy said, we're just talking. I said, right now you're talking to me. Should I be worried? Is that valid? I met one guy. In fact, he and I are friends now. He's younger than I, but we're friends. And years ago, he was a teenager, and I saw him with a girl. And I said, I was in a revival in his church. And I said, hey, son, what's your relationship to her? And he said, that's the girl I'm going to marry. And a year later, went back to his church for a second revival, and he had a different girl. So I thought, well, we're on a roll. I'll just ask him again. What's your relationship to her? You know what he said? This is the girl I'm going to marry. He said that like five different times, finally found one that would have him. And so now he's married. So here's a question for you. What's your relationship to Jesus? Now think through this passage a little bit and notice, if you would please, that Jesus is trying to tell us that he is life. Now notice that he's the opposite of death. How many of you ever been to a service that was dead? You ever been to a service that was just dead? Teenagers, have you ever? Come on, talk to me. You ever been to service and nothing happened and it was boring and you wish you'd have stayed home and watched Bugs Bunny? Has that ever happened? So nobody likes death. You know why? Because death stinks, doesn't it? What's the worst smell? I should probably be careful asking this question. What's the worst smell that you've ever smelled? I have a friend who has a warped sense of humor. And what do they call it after Thanksgiving when you go shopping? What do they call that? Black Friday. On Black Friday, he doesn't go shopping, but he goes to the mall. Doesn't go to shop, he goes for entertainment. And what he and his brothers did is they got together and they found this liquid sulfur spray. It's just a terrible smell. I mean, it's a horrible smell. And they will go into the mall, thousands of people on Black Friday, and they'll just walk by a random group of people with a little bottle of sulfur spray and just spray one time and then step back 4 or 5 feet to watch the effect. They were in one store and there were four little old ladies and they could hardly walk, just little old ladies, you know. And he walked by those four little ladies and sprayed real good. And the one stood up straight and slapped her friend and said, did you do that? they even got on video. Can you believe that? Now, death stinks. Nobody wants death because death stinks. Death, I can tell you this, death is useless. Did you know that's useless? Death is just useless. Let's see, son. What's your name right there with a beard? Allie, would you come here and help me, man? What'd you say your name was? Allie? Did I say that right? Allie? Come on, Allie. Come quickly now. And come on up here and be dead, all right? Oh, he's got to put his shoes on. All right, come on, Allie. Allie's got a beard. Allie, how old are you, pal?
18.
He's 18 and got a full beard. Brother Harold, there's hope for you, man. All right, come up here and be dead, all right? Just come up here and lay down. You're just dead, all right? All right, how about laying like this? Lay sideways, all right, right here, like this. Right here, this way. There you go. Just know what I mean, not what I'm saying. All right, Allie. All right, there you go. All right, now everybody, Allie's dead. Y'all with me? All right, say hi to him. He's dead. He's useless, isn't he? He's useless. He's dead. So you need help. She say, hey, Allie, come over and help me. He's useless. There's no value. He's dead. This is a dumb illustration, isn't it? Come on, nobody ever does. This is a dumb illustration, isn't it? But he's dead, isn't he? He's dead. Here's Allie. Come on, yell at him. Yell at him. Yeah. See, now, obviously, he's not dead because y'all know this is an illustration. But if he's dead, you can yell all you want. It's not going to make any difference, isn't it? Right? Is that clear? All right, son, what's your name? The red shirt right there? Come here, man. Wake him up. Okay. Allie, you're dead, all right? All right, come here and wake him up, man. Come on, you got to wake him up. You got to wake him up. You can do better than that. You got to get away. Come on, man, come on. Just wake him up. He's dead. Wake him up. He's dead. Do what you got to do. Grab him. Shake him. Pull his beard. Now, this would be dumb, wouldn't it? Because you can't wake up a dead guy. He's dead. He's useless. He's of no value. So you break down the side of the road. You need help. He's dead. He's not going to help you. He's no value. Now, think through what Jesus is saying here. You can have a seat, man. Both of you. All right? Thank you. Dead stinks. Say it with me. Dead stinks. No, you got to feel it. All right, you got to feel it. Come on, you got to do better than this. Dad stinks. All right, say it like you mean it. All right, and dad is useless. Say it. And you know, dad is frustrating. Dad is frustrating. We got a group of people in a van that's dead, isn't it? Or a bus or something. On their way here, and the bus is dead. That's frustrating. You got a whole crowd of kids. You're trying to get to student prayer advance to hear your favorite evangelist, and the bus dies. Now, come on, that's frustrating, isn't it? Say it's frustrating. Say it. It's just frustrating. I travel all the time, and we had a revival. I guess this was back in May, wasn't it, guys? May? We were in Texas, and we went to Texas, and we had a revival. We drove out and back. We drove out 750 miles and then turned right around and drove back home. I don't know why I do these things. Crazy. But I did it, and we took my truck, my RV, and a van. And we took my whole family, and Brother Self came, and he preached to teenagers, and we brought a young preacher from Bible college, and he preached to the children, and he had to get back to Pensacola to fly out of Pensacola Sunday afternoon. So Saturday morning, I don't know, what time did we leave? 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. or somewhere really early, 750 miles with an RV. And we got a long way to go, and we got to go through Houston, which can take 3 years. And it's a long way, and we get driving, and so I was being a nice guy. Normally, the van follows me. That way, we're together. Everybody's together. And if I break down, you know, there's another vehicle. But my wife was there, and the kids, and it's 750 miles, and it had been a long week. And so I said to Brother Self and my Matthew, who drives, and I said, guys, Mom's not feeling well. My Bethley's not feeling well. You guys just get on. I know the trailer, the RV's going to drive at 55 or 60. The van can go, I don't know, 80 or 90. And just get on home. So they did. They took off. They're way ahead of me. They're heading down I-10. And they're heading home. And I get just outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I was making pretty good time myself. It's 4 in the afternoon. Brother Harold, I don't have 4 hours to go. I'll be home by 8 or 9. This is an easy day. Turned out better than I thought. And I'm going down the interstate, and all of a sudden, my truck started coughing and shaking and started dying. The steering wheel started locking up, and there was an exit. I took the exit, eased off on the side of the road, and the truck was dead. Now, somebody says it's because it's a Ford, but I don't know that I agree with that. But, man, everything went downhill from there. The truck died. Not a thing. I put a new filter on it. I put some fuel in the filter. I drained the water out of the filter, and it would not. It was dead. It was dead. Saturday afternoon, I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and my truck is dead. Dead is frustrating. I got an intern that's got to get to the airport in Pensacola, and my truck is dead, and I got a 40-foot RV behind that truck, and I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and my truck is dead. It was frustrating. It's frustrating. So I called a tow truck. And I called a friend in Baton Rouge who's a pastor, and he found a guy in his church that has a big pickup truck. And a tow truck came and got my pickup truck and took it to an auto repair place. And another truck came and got my RV, and while they were coming to get my RV, I made a reservation at the Baton Rouge Airport for a rental car. I'm going home. I'll come back and get the truck. I'm going home. I want to be home. Plus, I got to get this kid to the airport. And so they came and got me, and they're going to drive me by the RV or by the airport, drop me off, take the RV and park it at this place, and I was going to go get the luggage and pack it in the RV, the rental car, and head home. And I got on the way to the airport, and my phone rang. And it was Discover Card. I am in Louisiana, and somebody in Kentucky was trying to buy some $100 worth of electronics using my card, and it's nobody that I know. Somebody had hacked my card, and so Discover Card shut down my credit card. So I got to the Baton Rouge Airport. I went in to get my rental car, and my Discover Card would not work, so they wouldn't rent me a rental car. I'm telling you, debt is frustrating. Are y'all following me on this? And so I said, can this guy rent the car, my, you know, friend? And she said, well, sure, we can rent it in his name. We'll add you as a driver. And she said, how old are you? And he said, I'm 21. Oh, she said, that won't work either. You got to be 25 to rent a car. Can you believe this? Debt is frustrating. I finally had to call a pastor in Baton Rouge who drove all the way to the airport. He rented the car, put my name on as a driver so I could get home. And then I had to drive 45 minutes out to where they parked my RV and pack all the luggage in the car. And then we drove home. I got home at midnight, and this young man and Brother Self, they were going to stay at a missions house in Pensacola at a church. And I pulled in, and I'm at a stoplight, and the light turned green. The church is right there. I mean, the church is from here to the corner of the auditorium. I could almost, you know, just jump out and run over there faster than I could drive. It was that close. And that light turned green, and I drove through it at midnight, and this little old lady made a right-hand turn but didn't stop at the yield sign and ran over my rental car and knocked the bumper off of it. I'm just telling you, dead is frustrating. All because my truck died. Now, teens, listen to me. You know what Jesus is talking about in this passage? Jesus is talking about death. And what Jesus says is, you know what? You need life because you don't have any. And Jesus said, you know what's the problem in most of our lives? We don't have any fruit. And those of us that do have fruit, we don't have much. And furthermore, he uses a word in verse 6. Doesn't this word describe a lot of the teenagers you know and sometimes your whole church? He says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is... Oh, you got to get it. You got to get it. Look at your Bible. Verse 6. Look at your Bible. You got to say this word. He says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is what?
Withered.
Say the word again. Withered. Smile at the person beside you. Smile at them. And say to them, the word is, you got to say it like you're from West Virginia now. Say, the word is withered. That's the word. Now you got that picture. You ever seen something withered? We live in Florida and we have a flower garden around our house. And, this week I noticed some of my wife's flowers hadn't rained all week. My wife has some flowers out there that are withered. They're not pretty. They're withered. That's a lot of our lives. What he says here about the withered branch is, he says when in the vineyard, when a branch withers, it's of no value. So here's what the husbandman does. He comes along and gathers the withered branches. They throw those away because they're of no value. And Jesus is writing here and saying to me and you, you know something, ladies and gentlemen? God doesn't want you to be withered. He doesn't want you to be dead. He doesn't want you and me to walk through our Christian life with no fruit. He wants us to succeed. So Jesus comes to his disciples here and says, listen, I want you to know something about me. I'm the vine, you're the branches, and I'm going to do a work in your life because the goal I have for your life is that you produce fruit, that you're productive, that you have love and joy and blessing in your life. Jesus is talking about his relationship to you. Are y'all with me this afternoon? So Jesus came, first of all, to be our Savior. Did you know that? When the Bible says here, I am the true vine, he is giving us the seventh of the I am statements in the book of John. How many of you know these? Jesus said, like, I am the door. How many of y'all know that one? You know that one? I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. How many of y'all know that verse? You know that verse? Finish this one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is letting us know that he came to be our Savior. Now, here we are at the Student Prayer Advance, and in a sense, we would assume that all of you are saved. But that'd be a dumb assumption, wouldn't it? Because in a crowd this size, could there be somebody who's not yet trusted Christ? Certainly. But Jesus came to be your Savior. Listen to me, son. He wants to rescue you from sin and rescue you from hell. He died on a cross for your sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. He came to be our Savior. Do you know that's true? He wants to save you from sin and hell. He came to be your Savior. The second thing I want to tell you about in this passage is that Jesus came not just to be your Savior, but he came to be your owner. That's the point of this passage. We're having a student prayer advance, young people, to say to you that you're not your own. There's a God in heaven that saved you now, and he wants to own your life and use your life and work in your life so that you will grow in the Lord and produce fruit. He wants you to be his disciples. Young people, it is amazing to me how many teenagers in this generation in our churches detest dead Christianity, but are dead themselves. Now, did I say that right? I meet teens all the time. You know, church is so boring and oh my word, everybody's a hypocrite. You know, the fact of the matter is, that's true too often. But there's something wrong with me and you when we are bothered that our church services are dead, but we're dead. We sit on the as far down in the pew as we can get. We don't even open our Bibles anymore. We never take notes. And you gotta beg and plead before somebody will walk down an aisle for prayer. And you and I are bothered at the death of a church, but there's something wrong, young people, when you and I are the ones that are dead, and we're bothered that a mom and dad are dead, and a pastor's dead, and the service is boring, but you're not doing anything about it. You know what Jesus came here to say? He not only wants to be your Savior, He wants to be the owner of your life. He wants to go to work on your life. And if you'll let Him take over your life, you know what He'll do in your life? He'll make you His disciple. He'll put fruit in your life. He'll grow you. He says in verse 2 that He'll live His life through you so you'll grow. That's what He's trying to say here. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Now look at me. Sit up straight. Those seats are comfortable, but look at me. Look at me. Some of you aren't bearing fruit. He's not talking here to believers and unbelievers. He's talking to His saved disciples. And he says there are branches that are not bearing fruit. They're a branch, but they're not what they ought to be. Does that describe anybody in this room right now? You're saved as I am on your way to heaven, but you don't remember the last time you went to somebody, tried to get them saved, gave out a tract. You go to church and you rarely sing. Now you stand there during the song service, and mumble the words, but your heart's not in it. If it's a football game, you'd cheer loudly for the Mountaineers or the Vols or the Broncos, but church is dead. No life, no fruit. Some of you don't even read your Bible. You have no fruit. You don't even read your Bible. You're at student prayer advance, but boy, you've had a whole summer off from school and you haven't prayed much. Some of you, maybe not at all, unless you were called on. Hey, son, lead us in prayer for the food, would you? And you prayed. First time you'd prayed in 2 weeks. No fruit. Now tell me, sponsors, isn't this kind of an illustration of our churches? We have so little fruit. Sometimes none. I'm shocked how many churches we're aware of that have anybody saved to join the church this entire year. Dead is our word. Now we love the Lord. We're at student prayer advance for crying out loud. And you know, many of you have no fruit in your life. Jesus said, you know what? God the Father wants to work on you because He wants that to change. You know what He does when a branch doesn't have fruit? He takes it away. That is a husbandman term. It doesn't mean He tears out the branch and destroys it, because that's not what the word takes away means. It's a vineyard term, and it means He literally lifts it up. Here's what He'll do. The husband will come along, and here's a branch that ought to have fruit on it, and there's no fruit there, but it's a branch. And so what He does is He takes it away. Often the vineyard doesn't have fruit, the vine doesn't have fruit, because it's worn down. It's gotten muddy, and it's got maybe parasites on it. And what He'll do is He'll lift it up. It's literally a picture. He lifts it up. He takes it away. And sometimes he'll get a stick with a fork in it, and he'll lift it up so that the sunlight can hit it, and the life can flow out of the roots and up through the vine into the branch. And He wants the photosynthesis to take place, because God's plan for your life is that you produce fruit. He doesn't want you to just be saved so you can go to heaven. He wants your life to have fruit in it. Do you have any? He says, I'll work on you if you don't have any. But what if you have some? He says in verse 2, look at that. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. He lifts it up. He goes to work on it. But every branch that beareth fruit, what does He do to it? You read it to me. He purgeth it. So how many of you this summer have tried to read your Bible every day? Can I see your hand? You've tried to read your Bible. Let me see your hand. You've tried to. All right, a lot of you have. How many of you have tried to pray some throughout the summer? Let me see your hand. You tried to pray? How many of you have given out at least one tract this summer, maybe two or three? Let me see your hand. How many of you go to church throughout the summer? You've been to church quite a bit. Let me see your hand. Raise your hand good and high. All right, now, a lot of you are trying to bear fruit, aren't you? So what's Jesus' plan for you? You should bear more. Sponsors, this is for us. Because see, a lot of us have been saved a long time, and we're bearing fruit. For crying out loud, we brought a group of teenagers to student prayer advance. But there's a God in heaven who says, I want you to be dead. I don't want you just barely having fruit in your life. I don't even want you to have the fruit you have. I want to go to work on you so that you'll have even more than what you have. Teenagers, God's not done with you. These next few days can be another step in a direction that God Almighty has planned for your life so that you'll bear even more fruit. Isn't this shouting ground? Isn't that wonderful? So Jesus wants to be your owner. Does He own you? Is He working on you? Are you surrendered to Him? Would you say that your life is absolutely surrendered to whatever Jesus wants to do in your life? Absolutely surrendered. Are you saying, Lord, what do You want? How do you want me to respond in this situation? Well, what's wrong in my life? What could I correct? What could I add? What could I change? Are y'all with me? Do you have fruit in your life? Do you have some fruit and God wants to have more in your life? See, he wants you to be his disciple so he can bless you and use you. Jesus is on your side. So here's what he's saying in the text. He's telling us that he doesn't want us to be dead. He wants us to have life. And as he lives his life through us, we'll grow. He says, abide in me and I in you. Let my word abide in you. Learn how to pray. Let my love flow through you. Let there be joy in your life. My joy in you. In other words, Jesus is trying to tell us here, he wants us to be changed. He wants to transform you into a better Christian than what you are. To a better fruit-bearing Christian. He wants you to be Christ-like. Doesn't he say in the passage, as I have loved you, now I want you to love. I want you to be like me. Would you say that you're like Jesus? He said, my joy in you, that your joy might be full. Are you like Jesus? How joyful are you? What does it take to make you really, really joyful? Does it take some dumb TV program that'll make you laugh your head off? Is that what it takes? Does it take a friend just being goofy with you? Or is there just joy in your life because you love the Lord and know the Lord and God is real in your life and he's working on you? He wants you to be Christ-like. He wants you, I believe in this passage, to be consumed. Have you ever thought about what he means when he says, abide in me and I in you? Abide in me. Get as close to me as you can. Be consumed with me. What consumes you? Are you consumed? How many of you, nobody here but us, how many of you would say in a sense that sports consumes your life in some ways? Anybody here like that? A lot of practice, a lot of effort, a lot of time. Nothing wrong with sports. We're consumed with it a lot of times, aren't we? How many of you this summer have learned how to drive? Can I see your hand? Raise your hand. Good night. If you learned how to drive this summer. How many of you are thrilled about that? How many already can drive? Let me see your hand. You already can? How many of you are pretty good drivers? How many of you are just honest enough to admit you're a lousy driver, but you like it anyway? Anybody here like that? All right, we got a few like that. Now look at me. Look at me. A lot of you have been consumed with driving. How many of you have no desire to drive? You say, I don't care if I drive or not. How many are like that? How many of you? But how many of you don't have a license, but you can't wait till you do? Let me see your hand. How many of you intend, if you can, to go fast? Yeah, I thought so. We rented a car, Brother Harold, to come up here, and it's a little Nissan. And, you know, it's a Nissan. What kind of Nissan is it, Brother Mike? Do you remember? Some kind of Nissan. We had a little Nissan to come up here. So it's either that or drive my dually. So I decided to rent a Nissan's faster. And that's a Nissan. You know, you're thinking, oh, it's a Nissan. Okay, it's a Nissan. But I got to tell you, it is a really cool Nissan. You punch it down, it roars. You feel manly driving my car. I think I ought to buy it. I mean, it's a great car. We were moving on. We had a lot of fun driving in these West Virginia mountains, praying that there were no police officers. It's just great. Just great. Some of you are consumed with driving. How many of you, honestly, nobody here but us, you be honest, because God's looking, all right? How many of you in this room right now, you'd have to be honest and say you're kind of consumed with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Anybody like that? Just a little bit of consumed? We got a few hands that way. Allie, are you really? Are you really? Are you in love? Is that why you have a beard? Oh, you had this long before? Is she pretty? Is she here? Is she pretty, y'all? How many of y'all know her? Is he telling the truth? Is she pretty? Yeah. Few uneasy ones there, Brother Allie. I don't know. God bless you, son. Consumed with her, huh? She gets a lot of your time, doesn't she? A lot of your attention. You think about her? Quite often. You pray for her? Yeah. She come marry you. She needs it, amen. Consumed. We know that word, don't we? What are you consumed with? How many of you this summer were consumed with video games? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Good night. Nobody here but us. We're might as well be honest. Consumed with it, right? We got a neighbor. What's our neighbor's name, Jacob? Plays video games all the time. What's his name? Clayton. Is it Clayton? I get them confused. Two brothers there. Clayton plays video games all day. Just all day. Plays video games. Manny across the street plays video games. His sister told me the other day he plays video games till 4 in the morning sometimes. Now, how many of you agree there's something wrong with somebody playing video games at 4 in the morning? Y'all agree with that? But how many of you do it sometimes? Yeah, a lot of you do, don't you? Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been consumed with Jesus? I mean, it's really consumed. He says, abide in me and I in you. You know what he's trying to say to us here? Be close to me. Are you close to Jesus? Some of you are pretty close to video games. It is amazing how well you do in a video game. Heard Brother Self preach one time. He's my evangelist friend is here. Brother Self preached one time and he told a story about, was it PS4 or something you saw at Walmart? PS4. And it was an advertisement, Brother Harold, for PS4. And it said, the advertisement was, achieve greatness. Isn't that great? You want to be great in this generation? Buy yourself a video game and win. That's great, isn't it? How many of y'all agree that's one of the dumbest illustrations you've ever heard in your life, huh? Achieve great? Are you kidding me? And yet, isn't that what a lot of us live our life? We're consumed with things that are fine. It's not wrong to play a video game if it's clean and everything about it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not wrong to love sports. There's nothing wrong with exercise. You don't get a body like this sitting behind a desk all day. Nothing wrong with that, okay? I mean, it's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. I guess you could say I'm consumed with my wife. I got a wife, my girlfriend, and I've been married 23 years. Isn't that great? We're in the 23rd year of our honeymoon. Isn't that great? We're trying to have the world's longest honeymoon. Right now we have 5 honeymoon babies. Isn't that great? 2's in college, 2's in high school, and 1's in elementary school. But I'm kind of consumed. I mean, I'm married. I'm consumed with that lady. Our anniversary's coming up, and I'm thinking about where are we going to go eat? What am I going to buy her? I'm consumed. The anniversary's, it's in 14 days. And in October, I'll be in Michigan, and I have 2 days off between 2 meetings, and I'm near Mackinac Island in Michigan. There's this motel on Mackinac Island called the Grand Hotel, and I've never been there, but I thought, you know what, it'd be good to go for a night. Then I went online and checked it out. And you know what? The cheapest room they have available in October, the 2 nights I have free, is $1,100. I'm consumed with that lady, but ain't no way. There's no way. I can't do that. It's crazy. I mean, what in the world? $1,100 for what? A bed to sleep in. I can buy an RV for that cheap. Well, it wouldn't be a real nice one, but anyway. Now, are you hearing my word? Are you consumed with Jesus? Are you close to Jesus? Now, young people, I don't know why you came to this student prayer advance. Probably because you are sincerely seeking the Lord. But let's start here in our first service and let's just examine our lives. What is your relationship to Jesus? In the first place, is He your Savior? Secondly, are you consumed with Him? Is He your own? Are you consumed? I mean, are you living your life for Him? Are you sold out to Him? Are you dedicated? Are you pursuing getting to know Him? Do you have fruit in your life? Are you alive or are you dead? Would joy and love and life describe your spirituality? Or would withered describe your spirituality? There's one last word here, and it's that word close. I've already mentioned it. But have you ever noticed that He says, live with me? The word abide is live with me. Let me live with you. That's pretty close, isn't it? For 16 years of our ministry, we lived in an RV. And Abby was born. She's my 21-year-old. And my Abigail, the week she was born, we made an offer on an RV. And the guy accepted the offer. And 3 weeks later, we moved out of our apartment. And we moved into a 40-foot fifth wheel RV. And we lived that RV for 16, well, that one and one other one for 16 years. They were almost identical. So I think of them as one trailer. But for 16 years, we lived in that RV. We added Josh to that RV. Then we added Matthew to that RV. Then we added Jacob to that RV. Then we added Charity to that RV. And somewhere in there, we even and Gracie, and that was our 85-pound golden retriever. And she passed away this summer. The Lord called her home. She had kidney failure, and so she departed. She's 14, almost 14 years old. But we lived in there. We were close. The trailer's 40 feet long, and there were 7 people living in there. Let me say, we were close. You couldn't get by with anything, because whatever my kids did, I saw it. They were right there. And we forgot to say things like, you know, excuse me, if you had to go by somebody, because we were always going by somebody. You got up and turn around, you were going by somebody. It was close. And here's what I want to tell you. Jesus not only wants to be your Savior, He not only wants to be your owner, He wants to be your friend. This is one of the most amazing things that I've ever learned in John 15, that Jesus Christ wants to be our friend. Now look at it. So John 15, you see it? Look at John 15. All right, you got your Bible? And look at verse 15. John 15, and look at verse 15. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, then read the verse out loud until you get to the word friend, and say it with authority, and then stop. Everybody, on your mark, get set, read out loud. Say that word again.
Friend.
One more time.
Friend.
How many of you have a friend? Are you telling the truth? How many of you have a best friend? How many of you have a best friend? Raise your hand if you have a best friend. All right. Does the person that you're thinking about know it? So is this, do they know your best friends? All right. Now, what's your name, son? Daniel, come here, man. Come on up here, would you? This is my buddy Daniel from West Virginia. All right. Come on up here, Daniel. And help me out with this. Daniel, I want you to stand over there somewhere near the piano, not but out in front of the piano, but just kind of stand over there, all right? Now, y'all know Daniel? Well, you do now. Say, howdy, Daniel.
Howdy.
All right? Say, howdy, y'all.
Howdy, y'all.
Okay, there you go. Now, here's how most of us think of God, isn't it? God is somewhere out there. How many of y'all believe God is the creator of the universe? Y'all believe that? He's Almighty God, isn't he? He's out there. He's Almighty God. He's the creator of the universe. We would say things like this about God. He's the creator. And he's holy. You ever said that word? Say that word. Holy. You almost have to feel it, don't you? He's holy. You almost have to wrinkle your face. Holy. Try it. I mean, no, wrinkle the face and try it. See, doesn't it feel better? Don't you feel the meaning of that word? He's holy. It's a serious word. Here's what we think. We think God's He's Almighty. He's the creator of the universe. He's holy. We even sing about it in church. You ever sung that song? It's spooky. It is. You ever sung that spooky song? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Doesn't that sound kind of spooky? You're in church, you're like, whoa. That's a great psalm. It's got a spooky flair to it, doesn't it? That's how we think of God. Yes, he's God. And yes, I know he's God. And yes, he made the world. And he's holy. And he's just, I know all about God. We think of God as the God out there. But that is not what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 15. What did he say? I want to call you my friend. That doesn't make sense. Does it? He's God for crying out loud. And he says, I want you to be my what? Doesn't make sense. Does that make sense to you, Daniel? Doesn't make sense to me. He's God. What are you talking about, friends? Now, I know what friends are, right? You know what friendship is. Friendship, this is friendship for crying out loud. It's my friend. All right, we're friends, my bud. How many of y'all know what friendship is? Isn't this friendship? We're pals, man. That's my buddy right here. Y'all with me on that? It's friendship. How many have a friend like that? Man, that's my buddy right here. Come on, y'all have a friend like that? It's friendship. But that's a word your Savior uses to tell you how close he wants to be to you. He just wants to be God out there somewhere in the universe. Yep, I'm a Christian, and I serve God. That's true. He's holy. That's true. He's almighty. That's true. He's the great. That's true. That's true. He is almighty, and he is God of gods and the only God. He is the one God, the only God. He is God. But he says, you're my child, and I want to be your life. And this is the relationship I want to have with you. I want to be this close to you. Now I'm going to tell teenagers, if you'll get a hold of this, it'll change your life. Because a lot of you young people, you know about Jesus, and you've been saved, and you're on your way to heaven. But you've never realized that Jesus wants to be this close. You say, Dave, that doesn't make sense. He's God. I know. And I wouldn't say that, Brother Harold, if Jesus didn't say it. I didn't want to write what I have to say. Jesus wants to be your friend. Except it's right here in red letter edition of your Bible, if you have a red letter edition. Jesus said, I'm not going to call you servants any longer, because a servant doesn't know what his Lord did. Servant just obeys. Servant just obeys. That's valid. That's valid. Servant obeys. You're servant. You're serving the Lord. Obey. Do what's right. Serve God. Obey. That's okay. But Jesus said, I don't want that to be the end of my relationship with you, that you just obey and go through the motion, do what I tell you to do. And yeah, I got it. Look, I check that off, check that off, check that. I did that. I did this. I did that. I did this. I go to church 3 times a week. I support my preacher. I tithe. I'm a good Christian. He says, I want more than that from you. Because what I want from you is that you and I would be so close. We could be friends. Isn't this glorious? Can I ask you a question, guys? Is Jesus this real in your life? Can I ask you a question, ladies? Is Jesus this real in your life? I mean, real. Just like this. This is my friend, Daniel. It's my buddy. Thank you, Daniel. Is Jesus this real in your life? Are you that close? Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Do you fellowship with him? What do you do with friends? You text them. Sometimes sitting side by side. How you doing? Fine. Right? How many of y'all text your friend when they're sitting beside you? Have you ever done that? You ever done that? Sometimes it's because you don't want everybody else to know what you're saying, right? That guy across the room there, he's kind of ugly, isn't he? How many of y'all ever text something like that? Have you ever done that? That's a dumb joke, wasn't it? We text stuff. Cause texting lets you say stuff you wouldn't say out loud, right? Do that with your friends. You ever texted something like that to somebody but sent it to the wrong person? I had this young man travel with me several years ago. He's traveling for 6 months. He's just 6 months on the road with us. And I took him out to eat one day. Actually, our pastor took him out to eat one day. Pastor and his family took me and my family and my evangelist friend. It wasn't evangelist. He's a college, a high school student. He's working for me for 6 months. He took us out to eat. And we were good buddies. So there was no issue here necessarily. But he sent a text to his sister. We went out to a barbecue place. And he's from South Dakota. And you know, apparently people in South Dakota doesn't know what barbecue is. Because he sent a text to his sister who was in California. And he said, I don't know what is with these Southerners and their barbecue. And he put an unhappy face. Except he sent it to me. He was making fun of Southerners and sent it to me. And I was taking him out to eat at a barbecue joint. And just being a blessing, I said, look here, Pastor, what he just sent his sister. And just shared it with him. You ever done that? You ever sent a text to the wrong person? You with a friendship, you can say about anything, can't you? You ever notice how David, he's so close to God, that David, he's down, he's discouraged, and he goes to the Lord and he says, Lord, I just want you to know something. Lord, I got to talk to you. Lord, I got a complaint. People have been treating me wrong. And Lord, I just, it's bothered. Lord, I just hate them. I hate them. That's pretty close to the Lord, wouldn't you say? Brother Harold told us just a moment ago, he said, you can go to the Lord and complain if you need to. Just be honest, just flat out tell him. You ever gone to the Lord and said something like this? Lord, I sure blew it. I'm sorry. That's friendship. That's close. How many of y'all with me this afternoon? You have a seat, Daniel. What's your relationship to Jesus? So we start this first day together. Are you that close to Jesus? Are you walking with Him? Are you in love with Him? Do you know for sure He's your Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Him as the owner? God, whatever you want is what I want. You can have me. And students, are you close? I mean really genuinely close. Are you bearing fruit? He wants you to grow. Sometimes I preach this outline and I'll say, He wants you to grow. That's why He says, I want you to bear fruit. I want you to produce. He wants you to grow. He wants you to glow because He said, I want you to be full of love and joy. He just wants you to glow with love and joy. And He says in verse 16, He wants us to go into the world and bear fruit. So to grow and to glow and to go. Are you? Let's stand together and bow our heads for prayer, shall we?